We're going to be reading, following on from that portion we already read from. So you have your Bibles open there at John's Gospel and the 10th chapter, starting at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long wilt thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. We'll end our reading there. Ask, please, to bow with me in prayer as we look into the Word of God tonight. Our dear Lord, it has been our privilege to invest this day, the house of God, the place of prayer. Dear Lord, it has been such an active week and month. These times have been filled with rejoicing. Times when we have looked back, O God, at Thy grace. Looked back at provision. Looked back at the blessings that have been poured upon us, most undeserving that we are. And Lord, again this evening, we lift our thanksgiving, our hearts of worship. Dear God, we bless Thee for Thy loving kindness and mercy that has been so freely and bountifully showered upon us. We are a blessed people. We thank Thee, Lord, for our school ministry. We thank Thee for the impact that it has had upon the lives of so many, of the love that has been showed by our teachers. Dear Father, bless all our children, we pray. Bless all our graduates. And dear Lord, we pray for those that are doing well, those who are going on with Thee. We pray that they might continue and shine brighter and brighter. Keep them from sin. Dear Lord, we know that there are others who are not going on well, who are not saved, perhaps even rebelling and rejecting the things that they learn from their youngest years. Dear Father, we pray for them. Bring great conviction of sin. And dear Lord, let them be overwhelmed by the love of God to them as they have heard over many years. Bring it back to them again, the Word of God with power. Lord, restore. Unite the family circle. And cause us all to return with thanksgiving for what has been done. And so, Father, hear our prayers now tonight. Close us into Thyself. Lord, help us. Help me tonight. Fill me with your Spirit. Because we have no might nor power in ourselves or in the flesh. Dear God, give grace and understanding to these people tonight as they listen to the Word of God. Hear our prayers, for we ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I would like to draw your attention, please, tonight for the time that we have remaining to verse 27 of John 10. Verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And the conclusion is this, "And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 10 is one of those classic chapters of the Word of God, probably because it contains a couple of prominent I ams of the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in." He is talking about the gate into the sheepfold. The whole chapter is dealing with the Lord as the shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. He says that twice in this chapter. And we love Psalm 23 because it is the shepherd's psalm. And how Jesus is speaking there. And how the psalmist said, "The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd." And so he saw himself. He saw the Lord as his personal possession. And you know, when we think about the Lord being the shepherd of our lives, we submit ourselves to him. And we want, as his people, to walk in fellowship, in harmony with him. And the closer that we walk to the shepherd, well, the best the feeding will be. Because he takes us by green, verdant pastures. He takes us beside the still waters. He will lead us to supply all our need. And so we rejoice tonight. And we are thankful that we are in the shepherd's care. When Jesus said, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved," we know that Christ Jesus is the entrance into life. And life will not be possessed unless we possess Christ. Because in knowing God, we know the Lord. And if we know the Lord and we know God, then we know our pathway for eternity is secure. It is settled in him. Jesus has been emphasizing in this chapter about his sheep hearing his voice. Hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, after he was created, he heard the voice of God as well. And the voice of God to him was something comfortable, something pleasing, something that caused his soul to leap with joy when he heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And at that time, Adam had great fellowship with God. Great fellowship with God because there was nothing to hinder that fellowship, nothing to obstruct it, nothing to come between that. He loved the Lord. The Lord certainly loved him, his creature that he had made. But we know well what happened. That when sin came in, then Adam feared the voice of the Lord. And he did well to fear the voice of the Lord, because sin had now gripped his heart and life, and he had died at that moment spiritually. And therefore, he that was created in the image of God in pure spirit, as God was spirit, so this being that God had made, he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul, a living spirit. And then, when that fellowship was broken, now Adam in his sin must be driven from the garden. And that voice that he heard, that voice that he so loved, the voice that so comforted him and blessed him and gave him the assurance that the God who had created him walked with him and he with God. But all that's gone now for Adam. All that was broken and thrown away when he chose rather the creature over the Creator. He chose rather willfully his own sin than he chose the Lord. That time was a time of probation for Adam. That was a time when God gave him the opportunity to see. Would he remain faithful in obedience? And we know the story of the fall of man. But it was not left there, my friends. For if God had left us there, we would be most miserable people. We would be cast off and have no future in heaven with Him. But our only future would be to be judged and damned in hell forever. Because our salvation is by the grace of God. It is not by our intelligence to choose the Lord. For all of our will and our mind is corrupt and fallen and broken down. In fact, in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, the Lord tells you that we have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and our mind, our will is totally depraved, and we have no choice. We have no choosing of God by our intellect. Have we been brought to the Lord because we were born into a nice family? No, friend. Do we hear the voice of God because we have been born in a certain country? Friends, the only reason today that we are saved is by God's grace. And His grace has been abundant to us. And the Lord has spoken to us the words, and we have heard His voice. And we know His voice if we know Him as our Savior. Mr. McClellan has told the story often about the time that he was in Israel and he saw a sight that was most startling to him. It was a time when some shepherds had gathered their sheep together at a watering hole. And it was sort of like coffee break time, I suppose, for the shepherds as they were having some fellowship together. And there were thousands of sheep actually around the watering hole, and they were all mingling together, and you could never tell them apart now. But each of those shepherds, when the time was over and they had to go back to the grazing, they all walked in their directions and they made an unusual noise, a noise that was single and particular. And as the shepherd made that noise, the sight was quite unusual. That all of those sheep that were all mixed up and completely unrecognizable to a stranger, they all began to dissipate and follow the voice of the shepherd that was their own. Because those sheep had been trained. They had been trained to know the tone, to know the sounds that were applicable to them. And they had been longing that was connected to their shepherd. And so, friends, you and I have belonging connected with the shepherd that we know as ours. Jesus said, "My sheep," verse 27, "my sheep." That speaks to us of the Lord's possession. He knows who His sheep are. And He calls them My sheep. How precious, my friends, is that for us tonight? I am thankful to God by His grace that I am referred to as one of the Lord's sheep. I am possessed by Him. I am controlled by Him. He has ownership over me. Condescension. Condescension is really not a word for it. It is condescension mixed with mercy, and condescension and mercy mixed with grace. For the Lord God of heaven to look down upon this poor sinner deserving of judgment and hell, for Him to say, "That is My sheep. I know him. I know her. I know that little one, and they belong to me." Jesus said, "My sheep." Because there are others who are outside the fold who do not belong to the Lord. There are many in this world that have rejected Him and have turned away and have gone their own course, and the Lord does not know them. The sad thing will be in that day at the end when some will come before Christ and they will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that in Your name?" And the Lord will stop and say to them, "I don't recognize you. I don't know you. Depart from me." And those who make pretense of being a believer, they make pretense of having a possession in the Lord, but they have no part in Him. Friend, I ask you tonight the solemn question, do you have part in the Lord? Are you part of His possession? Or are you on the outside? There's only one way you can get into the fold, that is, the fold of God, and you must come through the doorway. You must come into the possession of God through the very gate that He has made Himself. He is that gate. Thieves and robbers, Jesus said, they will come by another way. And they will try their means. They will try to twist and distort. They will try to circumvent the true and right way. They will try to get in by bribery or by good works or by a host of other things, friends. But the Lord Jesus said, there is no way that a man, a woman will come into My presence, into My kingdom, except through the door. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." And so, in order for you to be part of the possession of the Savior, you must know Him personally. You must come to repent of your sin and call upon Him as your Savior. Friend, that's the only way. And I admonish you, whether listening here tonight, young person, medium age or older, or listening over the internet tonight, sitting in the comfort of your own home behind your computer. Friend, if you are not a possession of the Lord through faith and by His grace, then you are standing on the outside and you think you might belong to Him, but if you try to come any other way but through the blood-sprinkled pathway, you have no life. You have no peace. You have no hope. You are outside. The Lord Jesus says, "My sheep." Are you possessed by Him tonight? You need to repent of your sin and call upon Him as your only Savior. But not only does He say, "My sheep," but He said, "My sheep hear My voice." And when the sheep hear the voice of the Lord, that speaks to us of recognition. Yes, the Lord possesses us, but there is also recognition. Recognition for us to follow Him. Recognition to say, I know the voice of the Lord speaking through the Word. I know the voice of the Lord speaking through and to my spirit. I recognize. And how is it that we recognize Him? Friend, we only will recognize Him if, first of all, you are possessed by the Lord. You belong to Him. You are His sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. Just as those ones who were gathered at the watering hole, and as their shepherd went his direction, so they knew his voice and they followed him. Some time ago at a baseball game, there was a dog that got loose on the field. And of course, everybody's shouting at the dog to get off the field and to come this way and come that way. And the dog was quite disoriented, didn't know which way to go, and was quite confused. Until there was a boy who whistled. And when the dog heard the whistle of the boy that owned the dog, it went in his direction. And the dog ran off the field. Because he knew the voice, the whistle, the sound of his master. There was recognition there. And friends, when we are possessed by the Lord, we know His voice speaking to us through the Word. Now, I'm not talking about someone hearing a voice audibly. We hear something of that today, but not talking about someone hearing an audible voice. We've got to be careful about those types of things that we think we hear, or someone saying, well, God spoke to me in a dream. Be very careful about that. God speaks to us through His Word. And as we told you this morning and revealed to you from Hebrews chapter 2 about how it's important for us not to neglect the Word of truth. Because if we neglect God's Word, so great salvation He has revealed to us in His Scripture, then we are without excuse. And there will be a day of reckoning. And that applies to the child of God as well. If we do not take heed to the Scriptures, the Word that He has spoken to us, if we do not recognize the leading of the Lord in our life, the voice of God speaking through His truth to our hearts personally, then we are in danger of going in the wrong pathway. Perhaps making a mistake in the direction we're supposed to take in our lives. When a Christian seeks God's will for their life, when they are reading His Word, it is important for us to pray that the Spirit of God will use the Scripture to speak to us, to make His mind known. There is a word of caution that we must bring, that every Christian is responsible themselves before God to hear His Word and to respond accordingly. But there is an element of what is called subjectivity in this. Subjectivity, because we have to be honest, we can be swayed by our circumstances that are going on in our life at the time. And it may be because we have high stress. It may be because the trial or the difficulty is great. And as we come to the Scripture, it may be that we will read something into the Word because of our own circumstances. And therefore we must guard against that, because when we are asking for the Lord to speak to us from the Scriptures, and we want to know His mind, we want to know His will, we earnestly want to know His direction, it is a word that God speaks to us. But it is not something that you can say applies to another Christian. It's something that's very subjective to the person involved themselves. So in other words, I cannot come along to the Scripture and read it and say, well, this is clearly the will of God for your life. Some particular direction that you should take. The Lord uses His truth, and He speaks by His word to individuals, and we ourselves are responsible as His people to know clearly the mind and the will of God for us. But you see, friend, the closer that you are walking with God, the more you desire to know His will, the clearer the speaking voice of the Spirit of God is to us. The more we will recognize and say, yes, I know this is the way God is directing me. I know this is the will of the Lord for my life. And you will continue to read and to study and to seek His will. And the Lord will very often give follow-up instruction, follow-up evidence. He will reinforce it with other words. And you are often advised not to be flipping through the Scripture to seek the will of God, because that's no way to seek at all. We are to read consistently and consecutively through the Scripture, and in our regular daily Bible reading and study. That is how we are to know the Lord speaking through us. My sheep, the Savior said, hear my voice. But then there's the third part. He said, and I know them. And that's identification. The Lord possesses us. We recognize His voice. And there is an identifying mark upon the sheep. The identifying mark, in a natural sense, could be branding, where the branding iron goes in the fire and is heated hot, and it is burned into the hide of the animal. Today, more so, they use a dye to color the animals in order for identifying, probably because they don't want to damage the hide with the burning into it. But you see, there's some way in which the sheep is marked. The identifying mark. If I was to ask you tonight, do you bear the identifying marks of Christ in your life? Do we bear them evidently for others to see? Are those traits of Christ seen in our lives? Are those marks of grace evident in us? So often we have to hang our heads in shame and say, no, they're not really. Certainly not enough of them. The fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. These things, as they abound in us, we will reflect more of the beauty and glory of our Savior. And as those marks are seen in our life, people will be able to say about us, there is undeniably a Christian. I see the marks on them. I see they have been with Christ. And if they've been with Christ, they will have the fragrance of the Lord about them. They will have the marks of the Lord's life about them. You have met people as I have, and you don't have to only be introduced to them, complete stranger. But you know right away there is something different about this person. And as conversation would go on, you would say, and do you know the Lord? Yes, I have known the Lord for many years, is the response. And it is evident in the face. Because the Lord causes the face of His people to shine. The Lord causes there to be an evident spirit about His people. And I would pray, and you would do well to pray, that that would be more clearly a testimony that we would have to people that we meet on the street, to people that we meet who are strangers. They would know that we have the mark, the stamp, the identification. Our hide has been impressed. We have been colored with that dye that is unmistakably that we are a Christian. We are followers of Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They have the marks that are upon me. How sad, friends, when you also hear the testimony, well, I'm not interested in Christianity because I have been introduced to many Christians, and quite frankly, they do things I would never do. Well, they're total hypocrites and phonies. I've heard it all before, and I've seen it all before. And if that person says, or they are supposed to be a believer, they've ripped me off. They've done bad business dealings with me, and I will have nothing to do with them. And how sad it is when employers have to make this recognition. I would rather hire an ungodly person than a Christian because I've been burned too many times. Friends, that ought not to be. It ought never to be. It ought not to be in our lives. We need to pray that God would so help us to walk with the Lord, that we would have such a mind that is the mind of Christ, that we would have His grace about us. We would do our work properly. We would do our work efficiently. We would not steal from our employers by loitering, purloining. No. The Lord would say, there's one of mine, and they're known. You know, Job had that mark about him. So much so that the devil targeted him as well. But he was a man who feared God above many. He eschewed evil. It means that he pushed evil out of his life. He would not have it in his pathway. And so here is a man who lived with the marks of God's grace upon him. And everyone around knew that. And I think perhaps some of them in jealousy knew that, his three friends primarily, because when the man went for a hard time, they were not so consoling. They rubbed salt in the wounds. But you see, here was a man who was set apart by God, and the Lord knew him, and he had those marks upon him. And we would do well, friends, to pray that we would have those things about us as well. And so the Savior said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's submission. Possessed by the Lord, recognized by His voice, identified by His marks, and submitting to His will. For we follow Him. That's what sheep do. Sheep are actually not that bright, so I'm told. I'm not a farmer, but everyone who has sheep said they're not that bright. They seem to easily wander off. They don't have necessarily a homing instinct in them. You see, friends, the thing that we are to be distinct in is that when we know our Savior's voice, we follow Him in that submission where we are not so easily straying off or led astray by the temptations of the evil one. And as we are close to the Lord, hearing His voice, that spirit of submitting and following is going to be there and evident in our lives. When it is not there is when, well, we're failing to listen. We don't hear Him. Maybe we have wandered off, become cold in heart, and reading is not what it was in the Scripture, and we're not praying the way we used to. We're just not in communion with the Lord. Just put it that way. We're just backslidden. That's what it is. And there are levels of backsliding, and when we just begin to stray off, we're just cold in heart. And we need to say, Lord, please come and warm us that I might follow You in submission and have a spirit of humility about me. That's what I want. Is that what you want tonight, friend? Then, Christian, as we unite in our praying, let us pray one for another. Let us pray that we will all have that spirit of meekness so that we support and encourage and pray for one another. Let there be no divisions in this congregation. Let there be no roots of bitterness springing up in our hearts. For when we see that, let us pluck them out immediately and go to the Lord in prayer. And if you have something against a brother, or they have offended you, or a sister, you begin the spirit, the attitude of praying for them in private. And you pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and will bless that person that you have some bitterness or grief with, so that there is no lingering instability. We need to have a unity in the flock. The herd needs to be going together, following the Lord in submission. For as we do that, He will honor Him and will be known in the community. We'll be known in the workplace. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us. And may the Lord ever give us that true spirit of Christ-likeness, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed, my word primarily has been to God's people, but it may be you're here and you don't know the Lord. Now is a time for you to confess your sin and call upon Him. My friend, the Lord is eager and open to receive your prayer, and He will forgive your sin. He will heal your heart and life. But don't put off. Don't wait till tomorrow, thinking some more convenient time on Him I'll call. Now is the accepted time. Come to Him today. And Christian, if you have to admit that you've been cold in heart and really just not doing well, just falling away, cry out to the Lord tonight. And say, Lord, please have mercy upon me. I belong to You. I'm one of Your sheep. I need to be revived. I need to be quickened. I need to be just strengthened in my own spiritual walk. Say that to the Lord and pray that prayer. And as you do, the Lord will hear. He will answer. Dear Father, take this precious word tonight. How thankful we are for the Scripture. It leads us. It directs us. It comforts and encourages. And yes, Lord, the Word rebukes us. And so make us to think right, I pray. Help us to go in the pathway of obedience. Lord, have mercy upon our fellowship. Save sinners, we pray. Restore ones who have just slidden away. And Lord, may there be unity in our fellowship and blessing upon blessing. So hear our prayers, Lord, tonight. And as we close this service and enjoy some time of fellowship outside, just be with us, we pray, and help us all to glorify Thee in word and in our walk. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.